big day for everybody. So to start us off today, I'd ask Pastor Mike Robinson to lead us in prayer, and we'll follow up with the pledge of the flag. So, Pastor Robinson. Please stand.
Father, we thank you for this day, for these men that are taking office, and for our county to go forward, Lord, in a new way. I pray, God, that you would give them the wisdom of Solomon as they lead and as they serve the people that have voted them in. God, I pray that our county can have differences, but not division, that we can agree to work together to move forward. I pray that you would have your hand of grace upon them in every decision they make. And Lord, as they lead in this time, Lord, in this season in their life, God, I pray that you'd be with their families. I pray that they'd have a strong support group at home and around them, and counsel that would give them wisdom. Father, I pray that you give them the courage to say yes when they need to, and the courage to say no when they need to, and what they think is best as they're guiding this county. Father, I pray for everyone here and everyone in this county, that God, we would move forward under your hand. As we're one nation under God, so is true with our county. And as your word said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, it's true with our county. And we pray as we move forward under your hand, Lord, that you would lead us into new days and better days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Tim Miller, clerk of the court for Garrett County, is here, and he will do the swearing in of the regiment. So, Tim, thank you.
Please stand and raise your right hand. You do affirm that you will support the Constitution of the United States, and that you will be faithful and bear true allegiance to the state of Maryland, and support the Constitution and laws thereof, and that you will, to the best of your skill and judgment, diligently and faithfully, without partiality or prejudice, execute the office of County Commissioners for Garrett County according to the Constitution and laws of this state.
I will.
Commissions that are signed by the Governor and Secretary of State, and we're going to hang those here on the wall in the County Commission office. So, would you hang the first one?
Hopefully, that's as close as we'll come to getting home.
We have two quick orders of business. One's a designation of the chairman, and the second is the appointment of the county attorney. So I'll turn it over to Commissioner Edwards.
I'd like to make a motion that Paul Edwards be appointed as chairman of the Board of County Commission.
I second the motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. Are there any questions on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
And I would like to make a motion that we retain Mike Getty as county attorney.
I'll second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any question on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Getty, congratulations, I think, wherever you happen to be. At this point in time, we're going to take a break until 9:40 in the agenda. I know a lot of you came here specifically for the swearing in. We appreciate that. I think I'll start, and then we'll make a few comments, and then we'll kind of meet and greet until 9:40. And at that point, For those of you that were just here for this, can feel free to leave. And if you want to stick around for the meeting, then obviously you're more than welcome to do so. I do appreciate the turnout. It's so nice to sit up here and see so many supporters and co-workers and, most importantly, friends. A lot of you in the audience are why I'm here today, and I greatly appreciate that. I'm not going to go through everybody because inevitably I'll miss somebody, but I do want to point out in the front row my beautiful daughters and my beautiful wife, and thank them for coming and for their support, and my mom and dad. So without you guys, I wouldn't be here. Thank you very much. My cousin Mike for coming and saying a prayer. It was great. Thank you. And I look forward to working with you all for the next 4 years and moving our county forward. And thank you all very much again.
I was hoping you weren't going to start introducing all your cousins. Anyway, likewise, thank you all for coming. I see a lot of very familiar faces. Those of you that supported me, I appreciated it. Those that didn't, hopefully I can win your trust and confidence. I think we've had a couple meetings already, and we each bring a different perspective to this. I think we have a very good balance. I think we're going to get along well. Hopefully we can be decisive, make good decisions, do what's best in the long-term interest of Garrett County, and move the county forward. And I had some reservations at one time, but I'm really looking forward to the next 4 years and working with these guys. It's going to be a good team. Thank you.
Well, again, I just echo their sentiments about thanking everyone. I really appreciate all the support that I received during the campaign. I thank each and every one that has supported me. I see a lot of those people here today. I look forward to working with Paul and Jim. Jim said I think it's going to be a great team. I really do believe that. I can just echo the sentiments of how many people that I could thank. But I have to thank Joyce Bischoff, my treasurer, because he's a great supporter of mine and one of the reasons I'm here. But this person that I really have to thank is my wife. I just appreciate all her support. I can't tell you how much that means to me. And again, thank everyone for your support that you've given me. Thank you very much.
All right, and like I said, I want to just conclude this part of the meeting before we take our break. As Jim indicated, we have had several meetings to get to know each other and get our feet on the ground. I think I feel really good about working with these guys. I think we're going to be a great team, and I think hopefully we'll be able to make some positive improvements. There are a couple people in the audience we'd like to recognize. First, we'll start with my former colleague, Mayors. We have Ms. Peggy Jamison, Mayor of Oakland, in the back, and Mr. Leo Martin, the Mayor of Mountain Lake Park, in the back. We also have Delegate Wendell Bikes on Senator George Edwards with us today, and former County Commissioner Ernie Gregg, and we appreciate all those guys coming out today as well. And if I miss somebody, I apologize. Just come up and let us know, and we'll recognize you later. So. At this point in time, we'll take about a half an hour break. Again, thank you very much for coming, and those of you that won't be sticking around for the meeting, we hope to see you again soon. So thank you very much. All right, guys, we'll call the meeting back to order. at this point in time, next on the agenda is the road name resolution. We have Debbie Carpenter from Community Planning and Development. If you would.
Actually, you have JB. This is his job to do.
All right.
So the road name resolution is the legal document that concerns all the county roads. So it has to be, any change has to be approved by the commissioners. And there's been a proposed change from the business owners at Annie's Kitchen and Accident create a road Annie's Way that would reach the businesses that are located where they are and behind where they are off of Garrett Highway. We currently have Garrett Highway addresses, but the resolution is to have a road named Annie's Way. And do you have
gotten her agreed to name change?
It's still in the process, but she has promised me that, and she has a letter that everybody has to sign before we make it completely official.
Thank you. We'll entertain a motion to adopt the resolution of the name change.
I make a motion to adopt the name change.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
All right, a motion, a second. Any comment on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. And at this time, I'll turn the meeting over to Mr. Pagenhart for the legislative review.
Thank you, Chairman. This is our annual meeting with the delegate and the senator. The county presents issues that they may have. This year, the county does not have any requested legislation during the 2015 General Assembly session. There are some other Erie County entities here that do have a presentation for you. Liquor Control Board, the Chamber of Commerce, Erie County Memorial Hospital, and Mr. Hoppegatz is here to speak to the Baltimore Washington TV legislation that's pending at this time. So you guys will make a few comments then, and we'll turn it over to these people here in the audience. Is that okay?
Well, congratulations to all of you. Look forward to working with you over the next 4 years. And we strive to do good things for the county. So the people know this is our annual legislative meeting. If anything comes up between now and the time the session starts, you need to get with us so we can review what your thoughts might be on legislation or bond bills. We prefer to have them before the session starts. We have a public meeting scheduled, and we always like to do this one before that. Check my little brown book here. It's on the 15th at Garrett College at 7 o'clock in the continuing ed building. And we usually like to have it after we have yours so people can come in and comment on your request at the same time they talk about whatever else they might want to talk about. So Wendell looked at me and said you didn't have any requests. That's kind of nice for a change. But we'll have other requests from the county, so that's okay, too. So, again, congratulations. Look forward to working with you and turn it over to Delegate Bison.
I'd also like to add my voice to congratulating you and look forward to working with you. I'm sure one of you will end up being MACO rep, and my former position as commissioner, I was the MACO rep and became a board member, so I would encourage you to get heavily involved in MACO because it's really an organization that supports legislation, that legislative issues that deal with the counties. I think I'm going into my ninth year now, and this is the first time there hasn't been any requests from the county, and I'm sure you're new, and so if between now and the session, if there's something that comes up, obviously we'll do what we can do to work with you to further the county issues. This obviously is a big transition year. I mean, we got three new commissioners, and we have a new governor, and we have a sea change in the House. There's seven new Republicans in Maryland House of Delegates, which may be the largest number of Republicans that have been in the House of Delegates in the history of the state of Maryland, what I'm being told. So, I think for George and I, hopefully, it'll be a little easier sledding with some of the issues that we deal with here in the county. So I think we'll have a little easier access to the second floor, which will be helpful. So look forward to working with you in the next 4 years. And I feel really confident that together we can make a positive change for the county. Thank you.
The meeting at the college is, you say it was the 15th? At 7?
Yeah.
Debbie, would you like to come first and present issues on the liquor control board?
How did I know you want to come up with something?
Yeah, something every year.
You can thank my board.
First, I'd like to thank the delegation for giving the opportunity for the liquor board
to present legislative matters and congratulate our new Board of County Commissioners. My name is Debbie Allison. I'm the administrator to the Board of Licensed Commissioners, also known as Liquor Control Board. And our laws are governed by the Annotated Code of Maryland, Article 2B. And this year, our Liquor Board has what I would consider some small requests. So our Special Class C licensees, the nonprofits, conduct events with alcohol. And we would like to require the nonprofits who hold a full-time multi-event license to have the alcohol awareness training. All retailers are required to have this training, and it's a very valuable tool and resource for them when they're selling alcohol. Second part of the Special Class C's would be to allow them storage of the alcohol in between events. There are some organizations who have multiple events, some even monthly, and we had a little feedback where they would like to be able to store the alcohol that they purchase in between events. So it's, other counties have this request already in Article 2B, and there are a few that are requesting it this legislative session. It's typically downstate the fire departments who hold full-time licenses that are utilizing the storage thing. I don't know if anyone will use it, but it'd be nice to have the option for them because they're buying the alcohol, and then sometimes after the event, if it's not all used, they have it, and it would just make it a better way for them to store the alcohol in between events. And then as a follow-up, last session we had the referendum request for Sunday alcohol sales, and we're seeing that there's a couple housekeeping issues that need to be brought to the attention of the legislative senior draft writer, Andy Lantner. Him and I spoke the other day, and it's as we're getting into what's this, what's that, there's just a couple, and it would just be adding the off-premise sales into Article 2B, as well as we'll do the same in our local rules and regs now that it has passed in several election districts and precincts. That's all I have. Do you all have any questions for me or want some additional information?
I have one question. You know, with the recent referendum and with the number of places that have been approved where you have off-sale businesses that can sell alcohol, there have been numerous restaurants are saying it's kind of unfair that they can only sell alcohol if they sell food. And you have the off-premises people can just sell alcohol.
Correct.
Is there any thought given to maybe relax a little bit the restaurant's ability to
It has been brought to my attention too. I mean, if it's something that I mentioned to a couple retailers that, you know, would have to, a request would have to come through you and George on that. So if that's something you want me to work on, it's already been brought to the board's attention and discussed in our meeting. And we were thinking next year some retailers would come forward with that. It makes sense from that standpoint. It does.
Maybe don't have to happen this year, but a new board of commissioners is something maybe you want to look at also and discuss it with the control board.
Yeah, there are a few retailers who, because the vote was a breakdown by election district or precinct, so there are here in town. Mountain Lake does not have it, but all their surrounding businesses do. So I do anticipate them to possibly request it in 2 years when the referendum. We have another election coming up, so I do see that, but it has been brought to the board's attention. I will let them know that your thoughts on it, too.
Question. Do they have to store this on their site, or can they store it alcohol anywhere?
It has to be an approved site that's locked.
By you? By the board?
You mean the approval process?
The approved site.
It's typically going to be on the premise. I guess maybe, can I use Nicole as an example? The chamber has a multi-event license, and they have monthly events. And if there was an approved storage area that could be locked, they could do that. The Abilton Community Association is my second example. Tim Galicka and I were talking about it, that they would be another example. Someone who has a roving premise, probably not, but the board could take take that information and consider it. The comptroller's office has to approve it as well, being and it's a would have to be available for inspection by the liquor board, law enforcement, and the comptroller's office. We're going off of Carolyn County's legislation, what they have already in 2B is kind of what we're looking to piggyback off of that section of the law. When I talked with Andy Lantner, he said, let's kind of wait. Normally, I bring it to you in the whole tabulated formula of how we want it to appear, and he said we would work on that.
But I think the answer is the licensee has the key to the block, if that was your question.
Well, I think most people in public would think they should store it on their own site. I agree, it should be locked, because you don't have people there, you know, all the time like a regular.
Yeah, it would definitely would
business.
Have to be,
so I understand the lock part. I guess my main question, Mike, was does it have to be on their premises?
It's on the licensee's premises.
Yeah.
It says alcoholic beverages may be stored on the licensed premises in between individual license events. If the alcoholic beverages are in a specifically identified, locked, and secured location and are not sold or consumed except during license events for licensed event purposes. The license holder shall keep complete and accurate records of all alcoholic beverages purchased and sold on the premises. The records shall be maintained on the licensed premises for 2 years and available for inspection by authorized personnel of the comptroller's office and the board of license commissioners. So that's what we're going to give to Andy to kind of piggyback off that.
I would kind of suggest maybe like to consider that because I didn't hear it in the reading that the has to be the site, storage site has to be approved by the liquor board. Or that make it too complicated?
No.
I mean, I didn't hear you say
no,
that.
No, because it's talking about the licensed premises, so the licensed premises for most would be approved. But yeah, I can add that in without any problem.
And just for clarification, the liquor board is one person shy. Current law on appointments is if a governor is not being re-elected, in this case you have a term limit governor, they can't make appointments. I believe it's after October. So they're going to have to work with one member shy until the new governor takes office and goes through the appointment process. And this one thing I forgot to say to the commissioners is if we get requests from people on issues that only deal with Garrett County, unless we have a senior moment, we run them by you because we do like your input since it impacts the county on your thought process on what the on that particular issue. So, thank you.
Nicole, did you have a question?
I was just going to ask about the when you talked about the food for the restaurants, would that require additional legislation then if the if the law was changed so that the restaurants no longer had to serve food?
Yes, it would require legislation because Article 2B, 11.5.12 talks about with a meal or when ordering a meal or at a banquet. So the class B's and D's are required to have meals. So it would, and the class D's even go a step further and they're required full commercial kitchens approval by public utilities, zoning, liquor board, and the health department, because typically a class D is a tavern and it's not a restaurant, so it's not your typical place you would go to have a meal, so there's stricter rules for that. Anybody else have any questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Nicole, would you like to go next, if you can speak?
I'm going to keep my remarks very short today because I'm still fighting laryngitis, but we'll present our full agenda on Monday at your input session. We do have four priorities, and as well as a full agenda, which I've shared some of that, Senator Edwards, with you at the PACE meetings. Delegate Beitzel, it has not changed considerably from last year. Our four priorities are the post-Labor Day school start for Maryland public schools,
Now that the task force has completed its work and made the recommendation, we will be certainly advocating for legislation this year to see that happen. We're also really advocating aggressively for additional funding for tourism promotion for the Office of Tourism. The Office of Tourism had reached certain levels, or exceeded actually certain levels that were part of the Tourism Promotion Act, but the budget for the Office of Tourism was not increased during that time, and in fact, back in 2010, the budget had been reduced significantly. We are ranking about 29th in the country in regards to tourism promotion spending, but yet tourism is the fourth largest industry in the state. And for every dollar invested in tourism, $177 is returned to the state through different types of taxes and spending. So we are advocating for at least $9 million be allocated for the Office of Tourism. We are also continuing to advocate for the reinstatement of the highway user fees. We feel that that is something that has just, the reduction in that amount has devastated our towns, and it's really hurt the county. And the rural communities have suffered more than a lot of the urban areas. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but that remains a top issue for us. And then we have also added this year on our top priorities, Senator, your Rural Development Incentive Program. So that is one of our top four. We will follow your lead on that program. Certainly Maryland, or Garrett County, has graduated from the One Maryland program. So right now, we are really unable to participate in anything. The Rural Development Incentive Program, we think, is a great opportunity. We do have the Program Open Space, or not Program Open, the Open Space Incentive Program is also included in our agenda. We have a lot of other items as well, including we're supporting the full allocation of the funding for the CADE formula, which I know is a top priority for Garrett College and the whole community college system. As I said, I'll share our full agenda with you, make sure that you all receive copies of it, as well as our commissioners. Actually, they did receive copies of it in that small binder we gave you. Monty, I'll email a copy to you too. But we look forward to working with you this session, and certainly if there are other pieces of legislation that come up that you want to know the business's thoughts on the legislation, or looking for business support, please feel free to contact us. Can I answer any questions?
I just comment on highway user. Obviously, that's something that's had a dramatic negative effect on the county with the dollars that were taken away. And George and I fought like tigers to try to get it restored. We had bills in last year to restore part of that. I think it's going to be our major initiative to try to get that money restored to the county, if not in whole, in part. So that, you know, the Garrett County lost about 90% of the highway user revenue that comes to gasoline taxes, and that money's all being diverted into mass transit systems. And so we don't have a public mass transit system. Community Action does a great job with the buses that they have, but there's not regular routes, and we have no options up here basically for other transportation other than vehicles. And everyone that drives a vehicle uses our county roads and town roads to get to their homes and stuff and back and for everything else, and we're being deprived of a tremendous amount of funds to improve those roads, and we can see the impact. So I'm sure we'll be working with the commissioners to try to get those funds restored.
And I understand it's one of MACO's top priorities, too. So thank you both. You have done just such a tremendous job for Garrett County on that issue, as well as many others. And I know that it's certainly keeps you all busy and sometimes is a thankless job, but we do appreciate all of your efforts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mark, would you like to present next on behalf of the hospital, please?
Sure, thank you. So congratulations, we welcome you, and I want to begin with my conversation just to invite each of you to actually participate directly on our Board of Governors. You have that right through COMAR in front of you today. You can also appoint a designee, and you also get an appointee on our board. But I always think there's a certain value to having you work directly with us, so that's an open invitation. We would be excited to have you. This is just some housekeeping on the COMAR related to the hospital. Basically, the hospital has adopted term limits, and we've incorporated that into our process. However, our bylaws for the Board of Governors are actually part of Maryland law, and so we would be looking for term limits on the medical staff representation to 4 years. This way that influences and changes could only be influential for a period of 4 years, meaning that it's probably fairly obvious. And then also for the members at large, we will be asking to change term limits to, or make term limits of, 8 years. I still think it's probably a little too long, but it's the best compromise that we can come up with our Board of Governors. And then removal of a board member from 1 week notice to 2 weeks notice, so that they have a chance to respond to any issues. And the most important thing is the rate setting dialogue that which is in there under red. The Board of Governors actually doesn't set rates and charges for the hospital. That's actually done by the Maryland Health Services Cost Review Commission. And the Board of Governors would have absolutely no real say in how that gets done. So this law conflicts with the laws that that allow for the HSCRC to set rates for all hospitals in the state of Maryland. And so that's really the summation. This is just some housekeeping getting us current so that the bylaws actually reflect the actual scenario. And then real quick, I just wanted to tell you that we are making some huge progress at the hospital. We had a fabulous meeting with WVU about a joint venture for cancer care that we plan to implement in the next 6 to 9 months. And so the hospital would actually be able to provide communities cancer care services through the Mary Babb Cancer Center at WVU. And then furthermore, we have heard today that we have actually been successful in recruiting the first GYN surgeon to the community, I believe ever. And so we will have now GYN surgical services at the hospital. And we've also recruited a new orthopedic surgeon who will also be coming and referred from him and have confirmed him as well. So a lot of work being done. We also have confirmation on a pediatrician. So for the first time in 10 years, we'll be able to provide pediatric services to the community here in Garrett. So we're making some great progress, and we're really, really pleased with it. Lots happened in a year. Actually, today's my year anniversary, so been here a year serving the community, and I really look forward to working with all three of you, and obviously continue to work with you too.
Question for only term limits.
Yes, sir.
Just so we're clear what you're talking to. You're talking Board of Governors amendments bylaws limits the total number of terms of medical staff members to two-year terms, 4 years. Are you talking two consecutive terms, or are you talking two terms period? It could be two years now and 6 years now, two more years.
Basically, what we're saying is that
you're talking consecutive.
That they wouldn't serve more than four. A medical staff member wouldn't serve more than 4 consecutive years.
Okay, we might have.
So it's two-year terms.
I'll
clarify
that. The same thing with the Board of Governors.
And see, the way the bylaws are set up is that each person serves a 2-year term. And what we're saying for the Board of the members at large, it would be no more than 8 years in total, or for 2-year terms. But after...
So you're talking two different things?
Well,
medical, you said two terms in a row. Just for clarification here, is the Board of Governors, is this 4 terms in a row, or could be 2 years now, off 2 years, 2 years, and you could go on? So I think we need to clarify a little bit.
It is consecutive, so I'll fix that. Thank you.
Okay.
It is consecutive terms. We shouldn't have a single member of the medical staff on the Board of Governors for more than 4 years. It's really not best practice because they could limit other recruiting efforts by the hospital through influence. That hasn't happened in my experience, but just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean we don't want to be proactive in setting, you know, sort of a contractual obligation that we wouldn't have somebody serve for too many years consecutively. And then the members at large, there is a distinction between the two because they're both appointed in different ways. And so the members at large wouldn't be any more than an 8-year total, and it is consecutive. They could come off for a couple years and then come back at some time, but there shouldn't be. There needs to be transition of the Board of Governors versus a long-term standing appointment that just never ends.
I understand that, and I've had time to read what you handed us all, and just read
yes,
and read,
sir.
And then that question popped up. Is it consecutive or not consecutive?
I'll make it as clear as mine.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your question.
The changes here do not impact, as I'm seeing it here, the position of county commissioners on the board or their designee, does it?
No, sir.
So, because they're elected and they serve, even if they would be 3 terms, this doesn't limit their ability to serve on the board, is that correct?
Yeah. At one point, we were considering requesting a change to that, but we decided not to do that. It is a little bit cacophonous that I could have 6 potential members out of 15 turn over right now. You know, if there's new. However, but for the next 4 years, it would be exciting to have the county commissioners serve directly on our board. I think that would be great. And obviously, we have some appointee opportunities for people for consistency but that we would be hoping that you would consider, but it is at your discretion, and we're very pleased to be working with you. Okay? Can I sit down now?
Yes. Thank you.
Chuck, you've requested some time also. Would you like to go next, sir?
Thanks, Monty.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations, commissioners. Good to see you, Wendell and George. I have some good news. The good news is that last Thursday, the president signed into law a new law for television, and we will be able to get Maryland television stations from Baltimore and the Washington, D.C. area. Now, there's several steps that need to be done to get there. I've already talked to Nicole and to Frank Schaff. We need to write letters to the television stations, and the television stations need to apply to the FCC to give us permission so that the cable carriers and the satellite carriers can give us television from Baltimore and Washington, D.C. area. That's about it. Any questions?
Yeah, so what really means now is that the television stations from Washington, Baltimore area, points east in Maryland, or in the vicinity of in points east, they can do it if they want to do it. So we have to convince them to do it and get them to.
Well, they can't do it now because the law says right now that we can only receive television from the Pittsburgh designated market
right.
area. Okay, so we're in that circle right now. We're the only county, we're considered an orphan county. Across the nation, there are hundreds of orphan counties. So this is going to be a law that will affect hundreds of counties. They'll give them the ability to get TV from their own state.
But this changed that law. So
this changed.
Now those stations can come in.
Now the stations can apply to the FCC.
But we have to convince them to apply.
Yeah, we need to write letters to them. I've been working very closely with Mackenzie Hayes, who is a legislative assistant of Congressman DeLeon. And he has already volunteered and committed to writing letters to each of the television stations, asking them to write the FCC. And I've been talking to Nicole and to Frank Schaap, and one of the things we need to do is get a petition going that we can send to the television stations, asking the television stations to apply to the FCC.
The cable companies have to agree to put it on too, right?
The cable companies will then follow up with that. Yeah. Cable and the satellite companies.
Even if the station in Baltimore wants to be here, the cable company has to agree to put it on. Is that correct?
They essentially will almost be forced to by the FCC.
Right now,
the FCC cannot allow them to put it on Comcast.
But that law just changed that.
Yes.
So two things have to happen. The television station has to want to come here, or we have to get them to agree to come here.
Right.
And the cable company has to agree to let them on.
Right. And the FCC is.
How positive do you feel about that? And what kind of time?
Well, I don't think there'll be any problem with the carriers because it's not going to cost them anything really to provide that service. It's just pushing the button. But right now, by law, they're prohibited from pushing that button.
Not now, but before they change it.
Yeah. The law will go into effect on the 1st of January.
Oh, okay.
But it was signed into law last Thursday. Yes.
Okay. Well, I just want to thank you. You know, Chuck has just worked his butt off.
I'm a volunteer, just a pure volunteer.
It's been
about 8 years working on this, and
so thank you
finally seeing the light at the end of the tunnel.
Thank you for all your efforts.
I appreciate it.
I too want to thank you. I know you put a lot of time and energy into this, and it's a really good thing that's been accomplished here. But follow-up question is, and I hear this from people who are Pittsburgh Steelers fans.
We are not going to lose any of the existing stations.
That's the question. Do they add on the stations, or does the person who signs up for a cable can pick which ones they want?
I think what will happen, I don't know this for a fact because I don't know the details of how the cable and the satellite services do this, but they've got lots of unused channels. What they'll do is they'll just figure out a way to shuffle some of the channels around. There'll probably be some new channel lineups that'll come out, and maybe not, I don't know, but they may fit them in various places, or they may group them into a certain place. It's possible that the cable carriers might want to charge a little bit more, or the satellite companies may want to charge a little bit more. They will provide the capability. Yeah.
I'm not a Steeler fan, by the way. I just brought that
up. I'm not either. I know.
I'm a Ravens fan, so being able to go the other way is a good thing.
That might have been my mom that called you. Don't mess with the Steelers and bingo. You're in trouble.
There you go.
I have said this before. We will not lose the Pittsburgh stations. I don't want to be drawn and quartered and so on and so forth. That was one of the givens before I got into this. We don't want to lose what we already have. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any other public commentary or legislative items for legislators? All right, the next item on the agenda is at 10:30. We'll have a public hearing on the 10-year solid waste management plan. We have to stick to that timeline, so we'll take an 11-minute break. All right, we'll come back to order, and it's 10:30. We're going to begin the public hearing on the 10-year solid waste management plan. Dave Baker is here with the Department of Solid Waste and Recycling, and we'll turn the floor over to him.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That's okay. Where we're at with this, it's a 10-year solid waste management plan that Maryland Department of the Environment requires that we operate under. It's pretty comprehensive. Some of the specific specific things that are spelled out by law that we need to include in here. We need to indicate how we deal with water supply systems, sewage systems, solid waste disposal systems, solid waste acceptance of facilities, and the systematic collection and disposal of solid waste, including litter and recyclables. And we really began this process last January. We put out a press release, and we invited the public, if they were interested in participating in any way, to contact us. And we really got minimal interest in doing it. And we had a document to go by already, the first 10-year solid waste management plan, which had been produced in 2004 and ran us through 2014. So it was really just a matter of taking a look at this document and finding out where we stood now. There have been a number of amendments. It does require a formal amendment to change this document, this plan. And that it does have a little bit of flexibility in it, but it's only through those amendments. And an example of that would be like the condo and apartment recycling requirement that went into effect just this past October 1st. That was an amendment adopted into it. We put all that language of the amendments that have occurred over the last 10 years into the document. We send it back to Maryland Department of the Environment. They review it. They've given us preliminary approval on our draft. And I really need to point out to you that Kimberly Madigan, who's our recycling coordinator for the county, she did the majority of the work on this, and she's done a really good job in satisfying those requirements. She couldn't be here today. She's sick, and I told her I'm really sorry she couldn't be here because I wanted her to be here when I thanked her publicly. But anyway, once the resolution is adopted, there'll be an introduction written to the new plan. The resolution will be included. It goes back to MDE in a formal context, and they want 7 copies that they'll share for the absolute final approval before we get the letter that says, yes, you can operate under this 10-year plan. I didn't provide everybody a copy. The hearing is really, if there are people here that want to comment, they can. And I am required by law to have a sign-up sheet for anybody who wants to comment about it or wants to be kept in contact about it. If you raise your hand, I'll make sure you get to sign the sheet.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry I didn't do that front. So I guess here's my question. Certainly can provide them if need be, but I just
if we had. For the record, we had one submittal, a petition from Wilford C. Hebden. This is basically the same documents that he had submitted when he filed a lawsuit against the county and the state of Maryland Department of the Environment. The lawsuit was dismissed. This is basically the same document he submitted after this public hearing, and we need to enter that into the public record.
I mentioned that we tried to recruit folks in January. We drafted our plan. When we got that preliminary approval, I think it was in August, the plan's been online. It's been provided at the local library, within the library. It's been available here at the courthouse at landfill. There's been 2 other press releases that told people where we were at and what our plans were. And there's been official notice posted in the paper that there would be a public hearing and it would be held today. So we're complying with the law for how we're going to manage solid waste. Another flexibility thing that's built into it, we talk about what we might look at in the future, and we've been working with economic development and taking a look at gasification or other ways to manage our waste rather than just landfilling it. So that's still a possibility. Even though we're into a 10-year plan, you're looking pretty far down the road. We can make changes to that. The state under the O'Malley Brown administration very deliberate about trying to head towards zero waste. We've got a meeting coming up actually next week to talk about where that stands and where it's headed. But that would be getting to a place where you're minimizing the amount that you landfill, and it's either being done through recycling or repurposing or through one of these gasifications or waste to energy systems. So I don't know if you guys have questions or anything other.
We do have one person who'd like to public comment, Mr. Lindsley Williams. Yep.
Thank you. For the record, gentlemen, my name is Lindsley Williams. I have a property at 207 Lakeshore Drive, which I've had for
probably more than half the time, and I love this half better than the other half for any number of reasons. I'm here today to offer some comments really that are sort of on the margins of the plan. And I wanted to share my concerns with you, the thinking that maybe it will somehow lead to some administrative procedures that might better prepare the county for some awful eventualities. I know you know that the plan, there are a number of different water and sewer districts. The district that I'm particularly concerned about is the one that surrounds and serves much of the lake at present, and it's going to be expanded with the Western Conveyance and possibly other things that are identified in the plan. The lake, as you know from the economic development reports, is a major asset here, a major contributor, and it also is something which, if the system had a degradation, could lead to significant problems in the lake. And you guys, the three of you, as I understand it, constitute the board of directors for the water district, the sewer district, and in the event something.
Mr. Williams, if I apologize for interrupting. We right now are on the public hearing for the solid waste management plan, not on the water and sewerage master plan.
Well, it's confusing.
Yeah, that's and so if this is for the water and sewer, can I ask you to come back up when we
Absolutely.
Get to that one? I apologize for that. So we could, because we actually have to stay on schedule with
Absolutely.
This. So I appreciate that and apologize. Is there any other public comment at all on the 10-year solid waste management plan by anybody in the audience? Or any questions or comments from the commission? Yes, sir.
I do have a question. The funding for this, how is it controlled? Is it set basically to where that funding is locked in and it can't be diverted, like, for instance, the highway funds were done? I mean, is that funding locked in for this plan?
I was just going to say, we operate as an enterprise fund, and that money is specifically earmarked for the operation of the landfill and the collection sites around the county.
So the monies that's allocated can't be switched to other entities according to the plan?
No.
Okay.
They are proprietary restricted funds used for that specific purpose, same as the airport, our Department of Technology and Communications, and our sanitary district.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Any other questions? Public comment? Can I get a motion to close the public hearing on the Department of Solid Waste Management Plan?
Make a motion to close.
Right, we have a second.
Second.
Motion and a second to close the public hearing. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Do we have a motion to approve the plan?
Yeah, I would make a motion if we approve the 10-year plan.
All right, we have a motion on the floor to approve the plan. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second. Any question on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.
We would note for the record, Chairman, that the plan now goes back to the Maryland Department of the Environment. And then how does that work after that?
They'll send us a final letter of approval once they've seen the resolution and the introduction. If any other issues come up, I'm sure they'll make it through it. They do come out and visit us every month to make sure everything's going according to plan.
And that motion of approval also is an approval to execute the resolution, noting your action if you sign that, and I will attest, and we'll give that over today.
I just say, as somebody who goes out there a couple times a week, I don't see everything you do, but I think you run a very good operation to include the satellites.
Thank you.
Locations.
I'm sure, sure.
I've seen a lot of improvement over there in the last couple, 3 years.
Oh, thank you.
Dave, if you want, could you get this notarized and then make me a copy? I think that would be
okay.
Cool.
All right.
Thank you very much. Okay. All right, next up on the agenda is a public hearing for the Garrett County Water and Sewer Master Plan. We have Pat Hudnall from Public Works DPU with us, so turn it over to Pat.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning.
Sorry. Much as with Dave, we're here to present the Garrett County Water and Sewer Master Plan, which our senator and district user is planning for to move the county forward with our water and sewer infrastructure. This is much the same as Dave's. This is presented to you. I believe you have a resolution in front of you, or will be shortly in front of you, or signature and adoption. Once adopted, this will get shipped back to MDE for final approval. Hopefully nothing new comes up. We have been in contact with them extensively through this process to make sure we have everything satisfactory possible for them. I have Clive Graham with ERM, who's been our consultant developing this plan. There's been a lot of us, and you'll hear the acknowledgments over the years, working hard on this, trying to get it done. We are behind schedule, unfortunately, on this. I'll turn it over to him, let him do his presentation. We'll go from there.
Thanks, Pat. Good morning, commissioners, and if I could personally wish you all the best in your work over the next few years. So it's a big day for you. It's also a big day for this plan. The last one was in 1997, so it's not just a little bit overdue. It's several years overdue. First thing I want to do is, as Pat said, make some acknowledgments, specifically Linda Lindsay, who ran the Department of Public Utilities for many years, and sort of went over some hurdles, had to go, it was like shoots and ladders. She went down some snakes and had to go climb up ladders and then back down again, but was very persistent to get this through, at least to this stage. And also John Nelson, I don't see John here.
He was going to be back.
I know somebody must have waylaid John, but I'm sure you all know John. And I think one of the challenges was that this plan is almost close to 20 years now, so here's John. And Debbie, also Debbie Carpenter, and that one other name I will mention also is Steve Sherrard from the health. This is a complex plan. You know, it's water, it's sewer, it's financial, it's planning, and because it was so old, there were why was this done, and why is this number 262.5 gallons per day? And without the sort of collective wisdom of Linda and John and Pat and Debbie and files, right, paper files, it just could not have gotten done. So more than just cursory acknowledgements to them, it was really a team effort. On the right, it's why do we have to have this plan? Well, State law requires that the county has a plan, but it's very important. Just back up one step. This is a plan not just for the county, but for all the towns and the counties as well. So all the eight incorporated municipalities have to be a part of the plan. So all of their capital projects for water and sewer have to be incorporated. And in fact, one of the reasons why, to some degree, funding some of their capital project needs haven't been funded is because MDE has said, Mineral Department of the Environment has said, well, you need to update your plan before, you know, because there are other counties with updated plans, and they're gonna cry foul if we approve a project in a county that doesn't have a plan. So it's very important. And the last point as well, that includes Kaiser's Ridge, which is, Mr. Einbohr, it's been one of his projects over many years. So it's very important that this plan get done. My understanding of the way it works legally is Maryland Department of the Environment kind of really oversees the whole program, but you as the Board of County Commissioners, I believe, sit as the board, as the sanitary district, which really I think owns and oversees all of the county systems. So you have a key role in municipalities, the health department, planning, and of course the Department of Public Works and the Utilities Division. So that's how the administration works. So what is in the plan? So there's information about land use, population, physical features, soils, water, high areas, low areas. There's a lot. We contacted every municipality, met with pretty much all of them, incorporated their interests and their needs. There's information about water quality, source water for public water systems. There's new mapping, very good mapping. I'll show you an example of future water and sewer service areas that are to be served over the next 1 to 3 years, 3 to 6 years, and then sort of longer term. There's some fairly complicated modeling of future demand. How much growth is going to be in the county, where the new homes are going to be built, therefore how much water and sewer is going to be needed, therefore how many wells are going to have to be drilled, and how much increased capacity of sewer systems. It's pretty complex. Well, without their help, I couldn't have done it, but it's pretty complex. Also important down the bottom here is policies and procedures. So it is a policy document. It's not just a technical document for the engineers. It's really a policy document. So there's coordination with the comprehensive plan, with the land use plan. There's policies regarding where water and sewer get extended. And very important for you is that the updates to the plan, until now, have been somewhat, I would say, ad hoc. If somebody wanted a change or wanted a sewer extension, they would come, there would be a public hearing. But state law actually requires a 6-month review. That's probably more really suited for the larger counties. But what this plan proposes is like an annual cycle, where you would consider all requests for sewer and water changes on kind of an annual basis at one time of the year. So to hopefully sort of not so much streamline, but kind of make a more logical process for you. So the plan's got 4 chapters. I must say, when I put this slide together, I said, this looks so simple. How come it took so much work to do? But those are the chapters in the plan. The background, which has all the policies, the organization, the background, and then the water, 13 water systems in the county, and the sewer. Just to give you a feel for some of the things in the plan, some of the planning considerations. There's the population projections, how the county's projected to grow. Now we have to be very careful in Garrett County because of the unique situation with Deep Creek, because the population doesn't look as if there's going to be much growth, but as part of this process, we have to look at the number of homes So you know the year-round population may not be growing that much, but you add a house at the lake, and it obviously affects sewer. So there's population, the land use plan, the comprehensive plan that John developed, and now Debbie is the shepherd, I guess, of the comprehensive plan. Water quality considerations. This map is of very, very high quality waters that NDE is particularly protective of, what we call the tier two water quality waters, and kind of a distribution of housing. So those are some of the thinking that went into the plan. And then, so just to give you a feel then, for the water chapter, this is the countywide map that shows all the water systems in the county. And then, as I mentioned, for every watershed, because the plan is organized by watershed, there's detailed mapping. So this is the kind of Oakland, Mountain Lake Park, Loughlin, Deer Park area for water. And it's hard to read, but the different colors represent what's existing water, what's short-term extension, and what's longer-term extension. So there's one of these maps for every water service area in the county. And again, credit, kudos to especially to Pat and Debbie for really working on the mapping. So that's going to be a lot better moving forward. One thing that's not in here that next time that they're going to work on is actually getting the main sewer lines and water lines on the maps. Because it was sometimes kind of challenging for me, say, to figure out what was going on, because I couldn't see where the big pipes were. So that's the water. And then there's kind of a parallel chapter for sewer. So these are the sewer areas. This of course is the sewer area or the around Deep Creek Lake. So we've got existing service areas. Where are the problem areas? What are the future needs? What are the recommended improvements, and then the detailed mapping. Just to give you a sense, I mentioned we had this modeling that pretty much drove Debbie crazy. maybe not just her, maybe Linda too, but I think they kind of went with me. But basically, it's a dynamic model that, here you've got the number of housing units, what the flows are, and when you change things, the colors change, and basically, if there's a color, it means okay, this is like a red flag. So this is, in other words, an area to watch. So for example, this first row, the town of Axenden has had sewer issues for many years, and this just kind of puts it in sort of numbers that that this is a kind of a problem area that the county needs to be aware of. And this may surprise you, but even the little area of Crowland and Hutton, when we plugged in the areas that the county would like to, the homes the county would like to bring into service, if all of those homes do in fact hook up, that very small system would be over capacity. And so then it's either you increase capacity or reduce the flow. And I know one of the numbers Pat wants to work on is, I think, actual flows these days, because of low flow fixtures are less than what they used to be. So perhaps the problem may go away with people using less water. So the next steps in the process, it's very similar to the solid waste plan. Any revisions that come out of today's public hearing, I guess for the record, it was advertised and...
Yes, advertised according to state regulations. 2 weeks. I think we had press releases on the internet and the papers prior to that announcing the upcoming presentation and decision.
None of the plans were on the website. The plans were on the website. Now, we did get some late comments, like last week, from the Maryland Department of the Environment regarding the source water for Kaiser's Ridge. I think some of you have been involved in this, know it's rather complex up in the Grantsville, Kaiser's Ridge area with respect to water. So we did get some late comments. It was too late to put them into the plan that's on the website, but if anybody has specific questions or concern or interest in those late comments, then we could talk about those. So we would want to work those into the plan. So any revisions as a result of the hearing, commissioners would hopefully approve the plan, adopt the plan. There are some certifications that need to be at the front that the plan meets engineering standards and from the planning department. And then it gets submitted, then the adopted plan gets submitted to MDE, goes to the other key state agencies, and for some reason they get 6 months to either approve, disapprove, or approve in part the final plan. So I'm not sure these days how long they actually take over their review, but it. But I think effectively once the plan is in, then they can. I think then they would feel more comfortable funding projects. So the next grant funding cycle, I think, it usually starts in like January. So that having this plan go in should put the county and the municipalities in good shape for the upcoming year. So any additional information? Contact Pat.
All right. Thank you very much. Mr. Williams, now.
Now. Okay.
Well, I won't take you through my introduction again. Thank you very much, Commissioners. Congratulations. Thank you for serving. I want to offer a few comments, but none of them leads to a request to change the plan. Okay? So I'm not here to complicate things. But to really suggest that we go forward and get on with it. Is it a perfect plan? Probably not. I don't know. I'm a planner by training, and I don't know any plan that's perfect. But this one's a darn sight better than what we've had, and I think we should go forward with it and make the best of it and then try to improve on the systems that are around us. As I indicated earlier, the biggest concern I have is with the district that serves the lake area. And the reason for that is that in the event of some sort of breach, the lake itself would then perhaps be contaminated to the extent that it would no longer be the economic engine it is for the county. I'm not saying what would cause this, I don't know, but I really am concerned that you ask the staff to help you identify the points of risk that exist in the system and try to identify them and then go about checking them out. The plan probably should have been adopted by the previous group of commissioners. And for that purpose, I brought a lemon. And the lemon is for you to put into sections and drop a few drops of the lemon juice into the water that you have at your places, because it'll take away a taste that may not be all that good. So if you pass this down to the chairman, that's my little prop for today. I'm coming at this really on the heels of the report that Pat produced. I think it was Pat who produced the report about what happened a couple of weeks ago at 1499 Deep Creek Drive. And my concern is not that he didn't do the right thing. He absolutely did. And the whole utility that got on it, and they tried to get everything straightened out as quick as possible. And I look at that as a sort of a wake-up call to say, what other vulnerabilities are there in the system that we need to know about? I know that if I were a homeowner and something went wrong with a fixture, I'd probably get the thing, say a bad word, and throw it in the junk pile and dispose of it. It seems to me that if there's a weakness in one check valve, and I don't know the particulars here, that there may be weaknesses in others, because you install a bunch of check valves throughout the system, and there are check valves, there are other kinds of valves, other kinds of systems, and I really want to encourage you to encourage Pat to produce some sort of a record-keeping system so that we can learn from the incidents rather than just respond to them. But I don't want to take away from the responses, I just want to have us learn from what's going on in Deep Creek and throughout the other systems. That's not in the plan, and it shouldn't be in the plan. I'm not requesting that it be in the plan. It's just an orderly administrative process that I believe is in the public interest. The plan itself, I've said this before, but not recently, I think it would be be a way to improve it as you come for, up for recycling, to look at questions of how to deal with contingencies, such as a problem along the older lines. My home is located on Lakeshore Drive, which is the conveyance route for the system right now that brings all the waste from Thayerville and further past to the south and McHenry and to the north. It all goes down my street in 40-plus-year-old pipes. My pipes are now 73 years old. They aren't as good as they once were. I suspect 40-year-old sewer pipes that are being having pressure put on them are vulnerable. We had in Washington, D.C. several years ago the ripple effect with damages from an earthquake that occurred in the middle of Virginia. Well, it didn't hit here, but you take a little incident like that, put it in 40-year-old pipes, and something bad could happen. And I want to learn from that. And if it needs to be that you have to shut down the system, you need to find a backdoor way to get the waste to the sewage treatment plant. And my sense is that when the Western Conveyance is opened, that there would be a way to divert the system, the waste, temporarily through that backdoor route. And I would like to see the protection put into the development of the system so that you have that potential instead of having pumps that only know how to pump in one direction. That's the gist of my comments. You have the lemon. I hope you'll vote to approve the project, the plan, and go forward. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any other questions or comments from the public on the water and sewer plant? All right, hearing none, do we have a motion to close the public hearing?
So moved.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion a second. Question on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, the public hearing is now closed. Do we have a motion to approve the plan?
So moved.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any question on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you guys very much for your time working on the municipal side of this. I can tell you this is a weight off of their shoulders as they're trying to move forward, and we appreciate your work.
It's not just a paperwork, a bureaucratic paperwork exercise. I mean, the smart growth and the way that state policies,
it's important.
It's
very
pretty
important.
I mean, unless you plan ahead and have those areas in the service planned or have the service or plan for service, you can't do that. You can't get any grants and money from the state to do anything. So it's really
really hindered the towns.
The age of this is, I think there were three or four projects throughout the county that have been held up due to the.
Well, I can remember when we started working on this in Grantsville was about 5 or 6 years ago. And thankfully, now we're where we need to be. So. Okay, moving right along in the agenda, next up is public commentary. Anyone in the audience have any public commentary? We must be doing a great job so far.
We hit the room.
Yeah.